Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy and also co-host. You've been promoted, Sophie.
I know, I feel very special.
Gone from go. I think once you've been on a guest once, next time you're on, I think you're straight into co-host. So welcome to the show. Can't wait to chat to you about golf and life.
So you've put me next to Guy.
I feel a little bit like I'm the guest on my own podcast today.
I want to sit on this side and watch you squirm on that side. So we're going to ask you some hard-hitting questions, Rick. And you're rough. Before we go into anything, it's episode number 92, did we say?
Yeah.
And you're really hungover. Explain to the audience.
Listen, it's a Monday. I shouldn't be hungover on a Monday. I'm a little bit hungover. Only a tiny bit. And it's not my fault. That's what I'm saying.
Elaborate.
I went out in Liverpool last night, in your hometown, basically. And it was really bloody good. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Who did you go out with? I want to tell everything, start to finish. Because you meant to be going playing golf today, filming a course vlog that our listeners, I'm sure, would have lapped up and would have got us loads of views.
That would have been very relatable, playing golf hungover.
Yeah.
We'll probably do it again. It was me, Peter Finch, Andy Carter, Matt Fryer, the original kind of vloggers, golf vloggers.
Well, I know Peter Finch can't take his drink.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but two of the four ball... couldn't get out of bed this morning, and I wasn't one of them.
And neither was Matt Fryer.
So me and Matt were ready to go, and certain other two weren't ready to go.
So on behalf of Peter Finch, let's apologise to our listeners for what would have been a great video that's not going to happen. Maybe it'll happen later this week.
There's a day we've reserved for later this week, which I'm excited about. But no, it was a good catching up with the lads. We had a really good time. Liverpool was class. And I'm just getting too old for this now. Going out.
Are these bright lights making you feel a bit worse as well?
I feel like you're proffering to on my own on this side of the table. Like,
did you buy shots at the bar? That's when you know it's going downhill, isn't it?
It's a Rick Shields night out. Of course there were shots at the bar. Yeah. I think we started with shots. No, it's good. It was really good. And yeah, so hopefully we'll get a vlog coming up soon. I think golf today would have been hilarious. You're right. I think that would have been one of the funniest videos ever. But I also think it might have ended our careers.
It's not your fault. You wanted to go and play.
I was ready. Showered, getting changed, I'm texting the lads, what's happening, everyone good, and one person in the group didn't respond at all.
I'm just enjoying this day, because being the bitter and twisted man I am, if I go out and get drunk, which isn't very often, I have horrendous hangovers the next day, but probably for 2 or 3 days, so therefore, I very rarely now go out and get drunk. Rick is normally the guy that can be out last in the bar, but then up, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and feeling fine, and be like, oh yeah, I'm fine, a little bit of a bottle of water, and I'm good to go now. So to see you rough, I'm actually really, really enjoying.
I think the problem is, as well, this weekend took its toll.
It did.
Last weekend, so I've had a bit of a mad one, really. I'm getting weight. I'm a married man, 3 kids, and yeah, I'm going out doing all this shenanigans.
When that happens, you get that one free pass. You just need to make the most of it.
Well, the free pass last week was St. Andrews. It was a work trip, obviously.
Yes.
But when you're in St. Andrews, there's lots of bars, there's lots of pubs, and weirdly, I found myself in the student union till silly o'clock in the morning.
I saw these TikToks going viral that there's a granddad, someone's granddad had come to the student union, sat in the corner asleep.
I've never felt older in all of my life in the student union. But that was good. Should we talk about St. Andrews?
Yeah, so we were at St. Andrews this week because it was the AIG Women's Open, not Women's British Open.
They've changed it. So it's now, yeah, the Women's Open, just yes. Like the men's.
And we were there on behalf of MasterCard. We've got an absolutely banging podcast coming up this week, a bonus one. Why don't you explain that, Rick?
We teed it up in last week's podcast, if everyone remembers, and I said it's one of the biggest guests we've ever going to have on, and it really is.
Sophie Walker.
Sophie Walker. People would have guessed it. The amount of comments we got about Sophie, yeah. Sophie coming back on. But no, after this, which will be then coming out on Thursday, I've got an interview with Annika Sorenstam, which I'm just like
so jealous.
Ridiculously excited about, because she is, I mean, in the ladies' game, she is the Tiger Woods of ladies' golf, really.
She's the best. She's the best that there's ever been.
Is it even a question mark?
No.
So in men's golf, obviously, or whatever, you know, I don't want to go men's, women, whatever, but in the male side of the golf, there are question marks. Who is the greatest? Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods? That's the question mark. And depends on who you
just
speak
quickly,
to.
Who do you both say on that one?
Only Tiger. Because it's my era, Tiger.
Yeah. I agree. I say Tiger.
But as you've mentioned before, when you want to play devil advocate, it's who won the most majors.
Exactly.
And so there is always a question mark. Mm-hmm. In ladies' golf, there is just no question mark.
No.
Annika is the best of the best of the best.
Yes.
And will be for a long time. Is there anyone catching her up? Is there anyone threatening to even contend for that title of GOAT?
I think the standard of golf is way better. But as in a standout player, no. I mean, the amount of different major champions that we've had over the last, I think the last nine have all been different major champions. Obviously not this one with Anna Nordqvist. But there is no domination at the moment in the women's game. There's just a lot of very, very good golfers.
Give me some questions I need to ask her. Have a little think.
I've got some
really key questions I want to ask her. Because, I mean, like, she retired at the age of 38, didn't she, to have a family? And then she'd come back and she won the... Is it like a seniors major that she won recently as well?
Yeah, she won the mile. Women's Seniors US Open. Her little boy loves golf, so I think it was a... You know, you see with the footballers, how they really want to do it for their kids. Yeah. And Ian Poulter, you've seen, haven't you, do it for his lads. Very similar. Ask him about a little boy. He's a superstar. He walks around the golf course with her, maps the golf course, tells her how to play.
No way.
So I think that's really nice. She's kind of done it for them. And then, obviously, she is super competitive and it's kind of got the juices flowing. There was a little rumour that she might get picked for the Solheim Cup.
Oh, my goodness. Is that come out yet, the US team?
Yes. She's not American. Swedish. She's not going to.
I've actually seen a house.
Have you seen Lake Nona?
Ridiculous. Massive. Ridiculous. Because she's on the same estate as, like, Henrik Stenson and Ian Poulter. And I think Graham McDowell lived there for a while, but it's absolutely off the chain. Huge. I think she owns a lake as well.
She's one of the, I suppose, in the women's game that has gone into business as well. If you think, like Greg Norman did in the men's game, Annika's done that very successfully with her course design and foundation. So, yeah.
I'm excited about that one. This week, we went up to St Andrews, as Guy was saying, and we were supposed to be originally staying in Dundee because we were going to Carnoustie for the Ladies Open. We went on the Thursday. I want to talk about that first. I really enjoyed myself there.
I really enjoyed myself there as well.
It is quite simple. I've been to loads of major tournaments, lots of Opens, a Masters, lucky enough to do that.
Ryder Cup.
It had everything that those events have, but just on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. So it had the hospitality suites, it had the tented village, it had the merchandise shop, it had everything. The world's best golfers. And their tagline is world class, isn't it? It was kind of tattooed everywhere. They are, some of the ladies golfers were unbelievable. And what's amazing this year, Sophie, I've been to three ladies tournaments and only one men's.
Well, that's great. I listened to the podcast when you went to the Rose Ladies Series and it really made me think, oh, great. I'm glad you've said that, because when you go to live sport, it doesn't matter what live sport, it gives you something. Mm-hmm. And I think with the women's game, you can get that little bit closer to them. You can stand right behind them on the tees and you can see the ball flight, whereas sometimes you go to the men's event and it's quite hard to get close, isn't it?
Well, we sat on the first grandstand for probably about an hour or so, didn't we? And my knowledge of lady golfers is getting better. I'll be honest, hold my hands up, it's never been brilliant, but I'm getting so much better at knowing, oh, that's such a body, she did that, oh, she only won recently. And I think social media is a big plan of that as well. I think they've started to utilise social media so much better, as every sports person has. But now you get to see a bit more of the life as well, which is really interesting.
Just a quick one. I've got to give Rick some credit on this because it was a very nice touch. We were on this grandstand on the first tee and we watched it about an hour, like you said, probably watched, well, 6 to 7 groups come through. And it wasn't rammed at this point. There's a good few people sat there and there was some little boy, he was probably about 10 or 11, and he looked and saw Rick. And honestly, it was like his face was like this. So if you're watching the podcast, that's what his face was.
I feel like we can definitely take a snapshot of what you've just done there with that microphone in front of
you. Yeah, no, please don't. Not little Ricky again. And he was tapping his post going, "That's Rick Shields, that's Rick Shields." I thought he was doing it about me at first. I thought he was saying that's producer Gareth the podcast. He wasn't. He was looking at Rick weirdly. And then Rick waved to him, like told him to come over, sat with him for probably 10 minutes, asking loads of questions, got a little selfie with him. His parents looking over, like proper waving at Rick, saying, like, "Oh, thanks so much." And literally, he will have made that little lad's year. And it was just, I just thought I'd give you credit there, Rick. It was really, really nice of you to do.
Normally, I don't. Normally, selfie.
Normally, bats them off with the back of his hand. He has a golf glove in his pack in his back pocket like that. He just bats them off. No.
What was nice as well, like, I've been to now Aramco Ladies Series. I went to JCB. I went to the Women's Open. And normally, when I go to an Open, I do get fans that will come up and spot me. And quite simply, it's very in kept with our demographics, 90-odd% male, mm-hmm. almost 99% male that come up to me for pictures. When I've been at these ladies' events, so many women golfers, young girls watching the channel, it's great to see, and they can still enjoy it. And again, that's kind of where I'm seeing it. I can still enjoy women's golf because, as you mentioned earlier, it's just golf, and it's just brilliant. I've been honestly really enjoying it, and I think they've just, I don't know what it is, whether it's the mix of players out there at the moment, the events, there seems to be a lot more in the UK certainly at the moment. It's just class. I'm really enjoying it.
And also with the Women's Open, going to venues like Carnoustie,
correct,
that tells the story. I mean, Muirfield next year, it's
that's
history,
a big one,
isn't
Muirfield
that's
as well,
massive,
isn't it?
Isn't it? I mean, they didn't used to let women members in Muirfield, and now obviously they do, and it's going to be brilliant. And to look at the history of who's won around Carnoustie. In fact, on the last day, Minji Lee hit fatted one into 18 when she was right up there, and it just bounced the burn. And everybody's like, "Oh, can you imagine John van der Velde if he bounced the burn?" And that's what you're saying. It is just golf, but you've got to make it relatable of what's gone on in the past. So I think that's great that they're going to those venues.
Is it not like the men's where it's there's a rota as such?
Yes and no.
Because they've been at Woburn before, haven't they, randomly?
No, not randomly. So the story, so the British Open or the Women's Open wasn't that to start with. It was called the Weetabix, and it wasn't a major.
Right.
And it was basically at Woburn, and it was at Sunningdale a lot as well. And it only turned into a major probably in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's quite a weird history to it. So, and the R&A have only just started running it in the last few years, hence why the prize fund's gone up, the venues.
No way.
Yeah, so they go back to Woburn and sometimes Sunningdale just to, that's their history, that's their throwback. So I think Woburn will always be on that rota, but there are going to be some venues like Royal Porthcawl, which can't host a men's event.
No,
because it's not big enough. But I've just seen your eyes light up. It's class, isn't it, Royal Porthcawl?
Unbelievable.
So they're going to be able to use those type of golf courses, which the men can't. So actually, I think our open rota will be a little bit more exciting because we're going to go to some newer courses, which are still very good.
I feel like I'm like getting so in, I feel like it's mine as well. Like, I feel like I'm really getting so invested. Like, it's just another Open. Like, it's another major tournament. We get four in a year in a calendar year. It's five in women's golf, isn't it? The five majors. Like, I feel like we've got nine majors to look forward to now, which, again, I'll be honest, hold my hands up, it's probably only taken me this year to realise that and to really get into it. And knowing players like Minji Lee, who's obviously Minwoo Lee's sister, and, like, people that I've kind of spent time with, Olivia Cowan and Anne Van Damme, and ladies who I've filmed with as well, I'm seeing, wow, like, they're doing so good.
You know what changes for you? And this might sounds weird, but I don't mean it to be, and I'll explain why. Instagram.
Yeah.
Because now you're watching some women and you go, "Oh, I've not heard of her before." And you go on Instagram and look at the profile and see the personality as well. A lot of the women seem to do a good job of that. They actually post like behind the scenes and stuff on there. You then follow them and then you then kind of know what they're up to, how they're in tournaments. It definitely helps.
And I think for a selfish reason as well, because my girls are getting older as well. Like, I want them to enjoy golf. I want them to idolize these phenomenal lady golfers, as they will do men golfers. But I want them, I just don't know whether it wasn't as out there or publicized as much. When I was growing up, I just don't feel like I knew Laura Davis.
Yeah.
That is honestly it. Annika Sorenstam, that is really it. Well, now I feel like my knowledge, obviously working in the industry, is improved. But what the industry is doing, whether it's ladies golf are actively doing this better, but I just feel like the information out there is so much better.
If you look at it now, so the prize fund for this year was $5.8 million.
It weirdly went up during tournament week.
It went up
well,
by 1.3 million, I believe.
Yeah, can you like, on Wednesday night it got announced, which I thought was really cool. So you're already playing in the Women's Open, really excited, and then they go, "Do you know what? We're just going to chuck in another few million." So that was a really good story.
Where did that come about?
It's AIG.
AIG and the RNA. So AIG have really said that we're going to be an ally for women in sport, and they've got a plan of really trying to get this equality and pushing it. And if somebody like that does it, and then all the other majors, I'm sure, are going to jump on board, then the smaller events, the regular tour events, hopefully will jump on the back of it as well. But it does, it takes these major championships. I mean, it made the news, like the regular news, not just Sky Sports News. It was on BBC saying, how great is this? It's still not near the men, but it's jumped significantly.
And you've got to do those type of things, like you say, to get headlines on Sky Sports News and stuff, where it's got to be almost a shock to people, and that's where they get it out there. So obviously it was strategically done. It wasn't by accident, any of this. I'll tell you also, I thought was incredible, Louise Duncan.
Oh, brilliant, wasn't she?
And for people listening, you might, hopefully people are getting a bit more into ladies golf, but she's a, I don't know how old she is. She's Scottish, isn't she?
She's 19, is she? Oh, 19, 20. Oh, is she older?
She was 21.
Oh,
she's
right, okay.
She's Stirling University, so she's
amateur.
Yep.
She won the amateur championship. She got into the Open.
She is.
And she did incredible. What's the ladies' equivalent to, like, a silver medal?
It's, what was it called? She obviously won it. What was it called?
Silver Salver. Smith.
Silver Salver,
the Smith Salver, yeah.
We saw her tee off, ripped it.
Yeah, she does.
And she's like, tiny. And she absolutely ripped it. Her technique was just phenomenal. But yeah, really enjoying it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Question then. Sorry, we mentioned this before off air. I obviously went with Rick on the Thursday and watched a bit of the golf in the flesh, and then I didn't watch anything Friday or Saturday. Sunday, I sat down with about an hour and a half left to go and was honestly glued to it. I watched Georgia Hall finish, I think, the last three, and she was out a bit before the leaders. So, like I said, about 90 minutes of watching the golf. Loved every minute of it. But it got me thinking again, can golf do more to make it more exciting to watch? Because for most people at home who dip in and out of golf, it's a big commitment to ask them to watch all day Thursday, all day Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I mean, could the women's game, as well as the men's, but could they push to have more something short form that's still exciting, that's more exciting, that gets people engaged?
I suppose they did, didn't they? Didn't they try sixes at Centurion that time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to do it in the majors, in fairness. Mm-hmm. I think It needs to be a little bit like the tennis, how it's five sets and stuff like that. But yeah, they did. I think short form is needed. In the women's game, sometimes they play three rounds. Mm-hmm. I think you see that sometimes in the lower levels of the men's game. I think the same with everything that I've seen with cricket over the last few years. The stalwart cricket fans will always love test, but how do you get new fans into cricket? Like, my mum went to the 100 series, so, and she was like, oh, it's great. Really,
and she's
loved
not a massive cricket fan.
Not a massive cricket fan at all, but went and really enjoyed it. And I think, okay, maybe that might make her a cricket fan. Maybe it won't. But we might need that in golf. We need something. I think the golf sixes did work. I don't think the golf has embraced it enough.
No.
I think the people playing it was a bit like, this isn't for me.
It was just
got to get the players on board.
Borderline between, it was exciting fun, and there was a real mixed response of like walkout music, wasn't there, and flamethrowers.
Is that too much too soon?
And that big six mascot bouncing around. And I'm not sure. I mean, I did that voluntarily. I thought I did a really good job.
You swam like mad though when you got the suit.
But like, yeah, it probably are probably taking on too much straight away. Where unless you created a completely sub brand off golf, Rick's Quick Six is what we're going for.
Yeah, we are going for that. That's
copyright done. That like we played six holes at St Andrews.
Yeah, we did.
Like, I played at Jubilee Course and filmed the video that you probably it's just gone out actually. I played six. That was lovely. I loved it.
What even
took
36 holes? There's no start off on. There's an 18 hole cut. So you have Saturday, Sunday, 18 holes. There's a cut. All like you said before, all the ties, all the ones who are on the cut mark have to do something. I don't know what that is. Putting comp
closest to the pin challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. And then 18 holes on the Sunday, straight out.
I just don't know if it's financially viable enough. If you take so many players out of a tournament, I know that you might think, well, it's tough luck, but there's a lot of journey, men, women.
Well, you can also have the same amount that all play on the Saturday, and then that just gets cut, like the same number gets cut that would anyway.
So they'll still make money on the Saturday?
So exactly the same. Everything's the same as it is now, but rather than 4 days, it's just two. So you have one round, then that's the cut, and then you have the remaining, what would normally be the weekend, play on the Sunday.
All right, okay.
So just 36 holes, so therefore it feels almost like every shot's kind of more important because it's shorter form.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
I think so. I'll make a call. See what I can do.
I do think there is room for shorter forms. The trouble is the schedule is so condensed anyway. They're playing every week. Where do you put it in?
Yeah.
You need to convince the other tournaments to maybe mix it up a little bit.
And then, again, the only thing that would make it not financially viable is AIG, who sponsor the Women's Open. They want 4 days on TV. They want the full shebang of a week, don't you? Because they're paying top dollar. Trying to condense that just down to 2 days and they're not on TV as much, you'd argue you're going to get more eyeballs watching it. You could argue that, but until there's facts and findings, it's probably that's the one thing that's quite hard to kind of convince certainly sponsors. And Golf Venture need sponsors. Like, it doesn't happen if they don't get sponsors.
Yeah, but as I say, for the Open Championship, that still has to be 72 holes.
I agree with that.
But you are right, you know, the last hour and a half of most golf is the most fun. I mean, I commentate on it and saying before, the Thursday is great, we're here, might be a new tournament, might be a new golf course. As commentators, we're really excited. Friday is okay, you've got the story of the cut, but obviously the people making the cut are struggling, so it's not great golf to watch. Saturday, we really try and plug it as moving day, but it is still quite a settled day, I suppose, and then Sunday is where it all happens. So I get it. From my point of view, 4 days works better than two, though, Guy.
Get paid more. I like it.
Yeah, double your rate. Anna Norquist, you know her. You've played with her. She obviously won. Incredible golf. Tell us what do you know about her? I don't know loads about her. So is this a massive, obviously, is she two-time major winner now?
Her first ever LPGA win was a major. Can you imagine?
Is that 2009?
Wow.
Yeah, so she just turned pro. Yeah, so she actually doesn't really win regular events.
Right.
She's a big time player. Yeah, a little bit Brooks-like. So Anna must be about 35, I would say, 34. Swedish player, was massive as an amateur, just bossed everything. She won the British Girls. She won the British Amateur. She won the Smith Salva. Now she's won the Open, so she's only the second person to ever do that. Georgia Hall is the first person to do that. And like I say, went out on the LPGA. So everyone knew she was very good. You've got a stellar career. Turns pro, gets her LPGA tour card and wins, I think it's the PGA championship, the equivalent, wins that. Was just never outside the top 100 in the world and then fell away from the top 100 in the world into last year. And for her, that was not turmoil, but a massive shock to the system. I mean, for instance, she wasn't automatically in the Solheim Cup until this win, and she'd played in six.
Wow.
So she is just an insane, steady golfer, and that steadiness was slowly dwindling. Thankfully, she comes back and she wins the Open. So I wouldn't say she ever went into the doldrums of the game. You know, you hear Jordan Spieth and Lydia Ko really struggling. It wasn't that. She was just used to just such a sustainable success. But I said on Instagram, if there was anybody that you'd have wanted to make a par down the last at Carnoustie, it had been Anna.
She was going
to
do it.
And the putt, I actually said, this will go in. Or no, sorry. And I said, this will go within inches because she would not be one that would leave herself a three-footer. She's incredibly good at putting, always has been. For somebody that, she's around 6 foot, Anna, didn't hit it a great distance, has actually added distance in the last few years. But watch her at Solheim. I mean, it's just relentless. She rolls in putt after putt after putt. I'm really thankful that she's on this team.
She's definitely got the best golf bag of anyone I've ever seen.
It's swag. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Give them a free shout out here. Swagger Golf, I think it is. Phenomenal.
It's bright, isn't it?
Graffitied, bright. Like, one of the best things I've ever seen, really, on tour.
And how casual is she when she dresses?
That's one thing I noticed with the women's game, how much cooler the most of them look than in the men's game. I know it's, I feel bad because we can keep comparing to the men's game, but I think it's natural when you watch fairly decent, well, I don't watch loads of men's golf, but at least see highlights online and watch bits and bats, and it's something I've watched since I was obviously young. So then come into the women's game a bit more recently. This last 12 months we've focused a bit more on the women's game, but they definitely look cooler, most of them. The shorter trousers with, like, obviously you can see the trainer style shoe better and stuff, and some of the outfits they wear, it does look a lot more athletic and sporty.
I think the women have made that commitment of it being a more sporty, sporty look. There's not really any chinos, is there, in the women's game?
You don't get that often. No, not at all. I liked Louise's line. She wore shorts on the Saturday, didn't she? And it was throwing it down, horrible day, and she just says, it's not even cold, and your skin's waterproof. Yeah. It's like, love that. I think she's so good. St. Andrews, do you love it as much as me and Guy love it?
Oh my God, I absolutely love it.
I feel like Guy's going to have a battle of how much he loves it.
I love it the most, then you can love it next, and then Rick can love it the least.
I just, like, being a, like, we grew up at golf courses. It's not, you know, it's not the coolest thing ever at school, is it? But you go to St. Andrews and everyone's wearing golf gear. Everyone's wearing golf shoes. You fit in, don't you? It's the first time in my life I walked in and thought, yeah, look, I fit in here.
You came in golf gear today for the podcast, didn't you? Because that dedicated to the scene.
I know I'm teaching before and after, but yeah, I am. I'm in my golf gear today. But, you know, now you can wear golf shoes that look like trainers or whatever. But when I used to go to St. Andrews, that didn't exist. So people would still walk down the roads in their spikes.
Yeah.
It's class.
Carrying golf club. Like, it's not rare to see a bike go past, the pedal bike with a set of clubs on the back.
So much, don't you?
It's not rare to, like, see outside a pub a golf club rack, or, like, it's so amazing.
So there's a lot of, though, that make us look really uncool. There's, like, these students that go to the university who are, like, they're all dressing like they're from 90s now, and they're wearing, like, dead, like, baggy pants and, like, kind of golf style.
The fashion's, it's dead mad, weird, isn't it?
Like, slim jeans have gone now. They've had the day. They're all wearing baggy stuff.
It literally looks like they've raided the mum and dad's wardrobe from 100%. The 90s. It's mad.
I've noticed that big Umbro sweater's back, isn't it? Or the one here
It just makes me feel more old again, though, because, like, they're seeing it as, like, classic retro. And I'm like, wasn't that long ago since I was wearing this stuff?
You just bin those jeans, the baggy
ones. I know, I just give those away. But
well, we were supposed to be in Dundee, as you said, at the start of the podcast. We got an email to say that the hotel had moved and we were now staying in St. Andrews, which was obviously
ridiculous.
A great email to receive. We then saw we were at Russock's Hotel, which is literally on the side of 18. So we got there, we drove up, Rick did the driving. Good, safe driver, good.
Yeah, was that all right?
Fast, but not above 70 miles an hour.
Obviously.
And efficient as well with his fuel economy. Actually, it's not great, your car's fuel economy, is it?
I don't even think about
35 miles per gallon he was getting.
We had a couple of... Shows your fuel economy. I'm like, how do I do that?
I don't know where that is.
What do I spin? What do I do? I'm like saying, car, show me miles per gallon.
Hey, something. Siri. Powered by Monster.
Yes, all the way.
And actually, Siri's just come on now, one sec. Anyway, we got to St. Andrews. We literally parked on the side of the 18th. Well, Rick parked his car at the side of the 18th.
Do you think that's risky?
Yes.
We were about three quarters of the way down the 18th hole.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, you can only park, it's a dead slim road, and you can park right up against the little picket fence, and I parked right there.
I think you were far enough up to be safe because you weren't in reach of driver, really.
It was shanked for second shot.
Yeah, but it's a serious shank. It could have happened. It was a risk that
was worth taking. I wonder how many balls get hit down that road.
A lot. The widest fairway in the world, but yet the most daunting.
So I parked there, went into Russocks.
What a hotel. It's just been done up the hotel.
Yeah,
yeah, they've got a new front bit, haven't they, looking out?
The whole side of it's been redeveloped. It used to be a car park. It's
I must admit, when we went a couple of months ago and I was seeing it being built and the scaffolding was still up and I was like a local resident, like hands on hips going, this is horrendous. I don't like the view of this at all. Like, can you believe they're building this? I was just like, I can't actually believe they've managed to get.
And then as soon as he got put up in a nice hotel room, his attitude just changed like that.
But now it's been finished. Now the scaffolding's down. It fits in
so good,
really nicely. Get it a little bit weathered, and it'll be brilliant. So we went in. We had three rooms. It was me, Guy, and Matt went. And proper lads week, wasn't it?
Really like good
proper
lads
proper
week.
Lads week.
Yeah, it was really good. Harry didn't get to come.
Harry and Tim didn't get to come, so that's why we're saying it's a lads week. And went in. Do you mind? Is there any hotel room views? Like, oh no, you're all facing the other way. I'm like, I've got to do this for the Insta. Like, I can't not have a hotel. So I said, is there any chance we can get a room?
I know how many followers I have.
You know what? I've almost never flexed, ever. I tried to flex and it failed miserably.
That is true. Rick never, to be fair to him, give him some stick, but he never ever.
Aren't you supposed to flex for him? Isn't this your job?
Yeah, I should have been sat there in the back with sunglasses on. Like,
I felt too embarrassed to flex, but you said something like, well, I can't remember what you said now.
I just said, I'm really like, is there, because I was like stuttering like this.
I'm the hotel receptionist. Hi, sir. Yeah, room 102.
Can you do it in Scottish accent, please?
No. Room 102.
Is that facing the golf course or not?
It's not, sorry, sir.
Oh. Is there any chance I can like switch it to a room facing the golf course?
Would there be a fee for that? I'd have to charge you.
Oh, right. Okay. All it is, I kind of make, like, you. I make YouTube videos, and I've got an Instagram page, and I've got a few followers, and I thought it'd be quite good if like I take a picture or a video and post it, and you know this will be free. I won't charge you for it.
It sounds great. It's £100 a night, please, sir.
I did get a slight discount. It should have been, I think it should have been £150 a night upgrade. So I don't know how much the hotels were. Luckily,
I think it was about £400 a night.
And they whittled it down to £100. And then I thought, what was funny, she said £100 a night, we're staying there for two nights. So I said, you know what, I'll do it. Not often you're going to get a chance to stay in this hotel room. Yeah, let's do it. So I thought, I could picture myself waking up in the morning, putting a robe on, fastening it up, making a little coffee at the espresso machine, opening my curtains, going onto the balcony, just slipping and looking outside St. Andrews going, this is a life. And so I said, yeah, I'll do it. So she charged me £100, just £100. So I was like, oh, got away with this. It's only £50 a night. Okay, I'll do this. So paid it. Happy as Larry walking up to my room. And it was
an unbelievable room, to be fair.
Went in and it honestly, outrageous. And the view, I mean, it's exactly what I think. It is. The 18th hole, it's the most famous hole. Well, not. I said it was the most famous hole in the world on social media. It's got a lot of question marks. That
it's debatable, though. I'd say it's up there.
It's one of the most famous views in golf.
It's the most famous course. Would you say it's the most famous course?
I'd say that or Augusta. I'd like to say St. Andrews, but I don't know.
I think if you said to someone, where's the home of golf, they would also. I think St. Andrews tips like Augusta. Yeah. I do. In the history.
Because I feel like, at least like you say, if you said to a non-golfer, where's St. Andrews, they've got a pretty much a clue where it is. And what's St. Andrews famous for, if you asked a non-golfer? Probably Kate and
Prince
Will.
Prince William, yeah.
Yeah, Prince William and Kate met there, went to university. But I think...
And then they probably say it's where Guy Chanet beat Rick Shields on the old course, is the second thing they would say.
Is that where that YouTuber did that really nice deed, where he surprised you with your family? And then let you beat him?
Ah, yes.
So I went out anyway, amazing. And so I thought, £150 a night, this extra. I'm happy with this. Literally didn't do a single thing that I said I was going to do, sit in the balcony, all that. We went out. As soon as we got in the hotel room, quick change, off we went. We filmed the intro of the video, actually.
We did.
That was worth it. Business expense?
Yes, of course.
I just needed that little clip. And I was going to say, so I went to check out. thanks very much. Love my stay. I'm really sorry, sir. There's a charge for your room. I'm thinking, oh, God, what's this? It's like, another £100 for the other night. We only charge you one night. I'm like, for God's sake, so I did have to pay 200. Do you know who I am? I felt like saying I've got what I needed now. I'm not paying it. No, sodger. But yeah, went out in St. Andrews, went for some. Where did we eat the first night?
We at the Jigger Inn.
Oh, yeah.
Had a burger.
That was class.
Jigger, you know what annoyed me as well? Somebody had, we were outside and there was a family next to us with a dog, right? And I'm not against dogs, but I'm not a proper into dogs. And it was on a lead, but like really loose lead. And it was jumping up on us, wasn't it? And it jumped up on me and put its paw all over my pants and left a big stain of like gravel.
Well, the floor was like a
sandy,
clay,
gravelly weird.
Yeah, it's like.
What's your thought on that with dogs? Because I didn't want to go kick off. But like, I don't want sandy dog prints on my pants.
You got a dog self?
No, I don't. Hence why I'm like Guy. But I think if you have a dog, you totally get over it, don't you?
Yeah, I don't
But if you don't have dogs, it's... And why they always jump up at the person that's least interested.
100%.
If you give them... Yeah, they can sense it. And you're like, oh, here we go again. So yeah, I'm with you. In fact, I was getting ready to go to St. Andrew's Royal and Ancient Clubhouse, and my friend's dog literally looks at me as if to say, yes, I'm going to jump up at you. And I was like, please don't do that. So yeah, I felt like I had that in St. Andrews.
Sorry, that was just that was a really subtle flex there.
Yeah.
So, tell us more.
Well, explain, because that's the most iconic building in St. Andrews, isn't it?
So the building behind the first tee, everyone thinks that that's the clubhouse, don't they? They think that is the clubhouse to St. Andrews. And I naively, when I went there at the age of 13 or whatever, 12, that's what I thought. It's really not got a clubhouse, St. Andrews, has it? Oh, it has the old, but for the other golf courses. But the old course doesn't have its own actual clubhouse, does it?
There's different
ones. No, I think there is down the side of 18. But are they not
golf clubs? Are they not like different clubs you can be members of? It's dead weird having a membership out there.
You join to be a member of a club. I think there's like six, let's just say. I might not be quite on this, but roughly. But then you're a member of that club.
And you get a building, ticket,
and then have access to that course. So there's not just one old course golf club, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Now, the Royal and Ancient, which is where you've been, is the one that we're talking about on the back of the first tee.
Did you not get that invite last week?
He walked in with his blue tick on Instagram. They said, don't get away, wee felly.
I've heard if I can get 20 people to propose me, I could get in. So if 20 people from the R&A club would like to propose me, send an email, and I'd be happily be a member there. Who won't dive into who you went with, but was it amazing?
Yeah, I'll tell you who I went with. It was the Women's Scottish Open, and a few of the sponsors was asked to go. And I got an email saying, would you like to go? And normally, through all this golf stuff, you get invited. You can't be bothered to get dressed up a lot of the time. It's like, oh, here we go again. But because of COVID, no one's been allowed to do anything. And also, you see the R&A Clubhouse, because I think that is what it's called, the Royal Nature Club, you think, yeah, I'll have a piece of that, please. So anyway, I was walking around the golf course that week. We were at Dumbarney Links, and I met the person that invited me. And he looked at me like this and said, you do realise it's jacket and tie, don't you? I was like, yeah, and I'll be getting ready for that, don't you worry, because it is a proper posh at the R&A.
What does that mean?
For a woman, exactly. I said, I don't have a tie. But yeah, it just means dress up and look really nice.
Right.
Which actually...
Dress up to accompany somebody who would be with jacket and tie, for example.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... Yeah, that's really hard. There's no dress code for that.
You never realise that. Like, that's what...
But I'm a man. So exactly. If it's jacket and tie, I know what
to
wear.
You're all right. Yeah, so it's...
Just nice.
Nice, yeah.
Okay.
So I did, dressed up something nice. And we went there on the Saturday night. And I think Martin Slumbers said it was the first time they'd had a dinner at the R&A. In nearly 17 months because of everything which had been going on, which obviously made it even more special. And I'm not sure if you were allowed to take photos, but I took loads.
Oh,
yeah.
See these.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the most beautiful place.
Explain
with all the history. So you walk in, as soon as you walk in, the car park is literally at the back of the 18th green, yeah. And the first.
Is that where the entrance is? Where the car park is, because it's always
there's a very little car park.
There's always mega cars on it.
Yeah, so that's where your entrance is.
Right,
right in front of you is the trophies, like the amateur trophies, the big, like it's not called the British Amateur anymore, it's the amateur. And then there's a staircase up to the right hand side going up to the dining room. If you walk straight through on the ground floor onto the left hand side, it looks like a bit of, I suppose, back in the day, like the smoking room,
gentleman's room or whatever.
Yeah, and then there was a slightly bigger where we had our drinks, and that looked out onto the...
Oh, my God. It was balconies, didn't it?
Yeah, the balconies at the top. So we were on the ground floor for our drinks, and it's just like, oh, look at this. It's unbelievable.
And what time did you go?
We were there about 7, 7.30.
Were you worried that you weren't going to get up on the balconies while it was still light? Or did you know that was the plan?
Well, after a few gin and tonics, I wasn't worried about
anything.
You were
up the stairs.
Yeah.
I got lost trying to look for the toilets. I'm really sorry. And you're there taking selfies on the balcony.
Yeah. So, no, I really did try and be quite professional with it all in terms of that. Because you feel like you might get into trouble. I'm sure you wouldn't. Well, I don't know.
What's it like inside? I've got a picture on Google.
That's where I had my photo underneath.
So is it like big modern in a way, though?
It's like a drawing room with the massive, like, paintings, beautiful paintings. I mean, everything is golf. There's nothing non-golf in it. Huge chandeliers, brown leather chairs.
Is it what you'd expect, basically?
Yeah. And actually, what is cool is every single bit of plate or cup or glass has all got the logo on.
R&A.
I'd love to nick one.
Imagine nicking a serviette. I went to the Ivy restaurant back in the day, in the London one.
Yeah.
Dead expensive one. And I was like, I need to nick something from it. And on the napkins, it had like the Ivy embroidered in. So I wrapped it like around my leg, my shin, and tucked it like in my socks, like a shin pad, and then put my pants over it and nicked it. Still got it to this day. Sorry, Ivy London. But yeah, that's you kind of want to take some. I know you shouldn't do, but
it's like, I mean, I've never been to Buckingham Palace, but it's like that type of feeling where
I wonder if that's the most places get nicked from. Like, you'd nick some toilet paper, wouldn't you, or something from Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't from the R&A.
Honestly.
But it's so special.
Honestly, Mr. Slumbers, you didn't.
Yeah, no, I didn't. It's just really special. Food was great.
Was
service
it good?
Was
what
awesome.
Did you have? Was it
we had
posh?
Some crab starter.
Yeah.
And then
lamb.
Guy'd
hate
main
this.
Course. Wow. And then a little chocolate, like, souffle with raspberry in. It was nice.
Well, what was the vibe, though? Was it, like, stuck up and old men? And is that...
Well, there was 28 of us to dinner, so there was only... us lot in there, so there was men and women and we were all guests, so we were just all pleased to be there.
Weird question, what were the toilets like?
Yeah, all right.
Because I feel like that's always
not gold plated.
These places, though, I feel like when they're really
nice,
smart,
nice toilets.
Yeah,
they've got
like different
nice.
Soap, different like little hand towels.
Yeah, like Joe Malone.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That type of level.
Yeah, okay,
they almost can't really be seen to be too over the top expensive, can they? Really, because obviously it's. I don't know, the governing body of the game, like, you can't think they're going to spend £1 million on a gold toilet when they could be funding junior golf development somewhere, for example.
Yeah, true. I get the impression that it's old stuff, but really looked after, rather than spending loads on flash stuff.
Can't wait for my invite, please, R&A. I'd happily...
You're not going to go now robbing stuff, so they'll check your socks on the way out.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's where I was. Where you're looking now?
Yeah, there's loads of images. If you go on Google Images and type in R&A Clubhouse, there's loads of pictures come up. It does look.
And also,
incredible.
I think because of we've not been able to go out,
of course.
You know that's the one, isn't it? So you get dressed up. And nice little story actually. We're all having dinner, and the lad kind of leans over. Hello, my name's John. I was like, oh, hi, John. You know, he's like, we've actually met before. You know, when you've got
Do you know what the thing is to say though? Nice to see you.
Yeah.
That's the response for almost everyone I meet. Nice to see you. Because if I've met you before, you're not offended. And if you're brand new, it works. Little tip for everybody listening.
Yeah, little tip.
If you come up to me and I say, oh, nice to see you, it means I've got no idea who you really are. I'm sorry.
So I've gone, and he just looks at me and he says, I caddied for you at the British Girls in Blair Gowrie when you were 15.
Oh, you don't remember that, though,
No,
you?
You're not, but I obviously remembered the week. And he caddied for me for a few rounds because I did really well. And we had such a good time. And I'd not seen him for like 20 years. And he now works for the R&A in sponsorship. And it was lovely. You know, that's what's great about golf, isn't it? How you've not seen somebody for so long and then, how are you and everything.
And he would have been... old or anyway.
We're the same
when
age, yeah.
Oh, I think
we're
the same
pretty
age.
Much the okay. same age,
Cause,
yeah.
Because in that sentence, he could have also been like a 40-year-old man caddying for you at the time.
Yeah, he could have been.
Or he could have been, you know, like I say, similar age to you at 15 or whatever. So it's like, that's also what's great. Like, years later, and you've always got a common interest and you can chat about golf and you can whatever. That is always good when you meet golfers, you just have something to talk about all the time.
One of the other things we did in St Andrews, which obviously people are in the video on now, we had this idea. We wanted to try and go up, and obviously we're going to the Women's Open, so that was the main reason why we were there. But staying in St Andrews, we thought we have to make some content. We've got to film while we're there. It's rude not to. So we had the idea, inspired off one of our favourite golf channels called Stacked Golf, where they've got husband and wife, John and Ashley, and they go out and buy old, used golf clubs from like thrift shops and all this kind of stuff. We were like, we've got to do that, St Andrews. There's probably more golf shops per square mile than anywhere in the world. Not the biggest, but the best.
Little independent ones.
Just little ones where you could find something old and just like... I'll come on to the Octolonies one in a minute. But yeah, so we went out and we filmed this video. I don't know if you've seen it or seen clips of it, but basically Rick spent £500 on clubs that he probably could have got for £200.
I've spent
some bartering
too much
about
money. I'm terrible at bartering.
But,
can you barter?
Yeah, I can.
I reckon you could.
Terrible at it.
You don't even try it, though.
Yeah, I know. Just feel too awkward.
You know what Rick always does as well? I don't know what you do on this, but Americans might not agree with this. It's more of a culture, but he always leaves a tip in a restaurant, which I don't always do, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah, I always do.
Do you always? See, I don't do... If I go out and I... Right, let me say this now. If I go to a restaurant and I buy a fillet steak for £30, which it sometimes can be, and then, like, Abby has a glass of wine, which is obviously, like, £8, which should be, like, 50p or something, and then they want a tip as well, like, why do you have to give more money?
You're not tipping them for the quality of food. You're tipping them for the quality of service.
Yeah, but their service should be paid for by the restaurant who are making £25 profit on my steak. If you want good staff, pay them well. Anyway, sorry, that's a rant. I'd like
the only one I don't like is when they add it to the bill already. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I'd rather choose to or not to. And if they've added it to the bill, I don't pay extra tip.
No,
but in America, I mean, honestly, American listeners would be like, you don't tip. Like, a mate of mine went over to America. He started coaching in Las Vegas. And even for his it was ridiculously expensive for a golf lesson, as you are in America. Like in America. Certainly in the time, it was like $150 a lesson or something. And he'd often say that people would almost end up giving him like nearly £200 because the rest is just a tip.
But at what point do you start to... You don't tip in McDonald's, do you?
No.
So what point do you tip in the clubhouse?
You what, though, have you seen the little things now when you go to the...
Charity. That's different.
And you can like round it up and whatever.
That's good. At what point do you start tipping?
I probably wouldn't tip. It depends when if there's a function to do, because sometimes also they can't, so I don't often carry cash with me. So if let's say if the bill was £46,
yeah,
right, I'd always round it up to 50.
But why?
If I can pay on cash, I even tip my barber. I tip barbers.
I've tipped barbers before, but I just feel like it's certainly when you're having.
Is that why you got a hat on though?
My hair's runs at the minute. But
I went to Tesco for a haircut yesterday.
Tesco. The supermarket Tesco.
They really do everything.
Honestly, it's one of the best experiences ever as well. So yesterday, sorry, we're going really off topic here. Yesterday morning, I knew I was going out, Liverpool, mentioned it at the start of the show. Wanted to look nice.
You look good on that picture.
Well, I knew there was going to be a banger Insta, right? So I was like, when am I going to, Sunday? How the hell am I going to get my hair cut on a Sunday? Because normally every barber's shut on a Sunday, isn't it? Sunday, yeah. Monday, normally have off, don't they? So I'm Googling. I'm thinking, I tried mobile barbers. I thought someone would be able to come around to the house. And also my little boy, who's 3 soon, the last time I took him to get his hair cut was about 3 months ago, so his hair was horrendous. And the reason it was so long, because he had a meltdown last time we went. Like, I had to drag him out kicking and screaming. He got half a haircut, so his hair was horrendous. So I needed to book him in as well. So I'm thinking, where am I going to do this? Anyway, I remember I told you about, I went to Asda in, I won't say where, near my house. And in Asda, there was a barber's, like in the corner, built in, like a proper...
And Tesco as well, then.
So this in Asda, there was a hairdresser's on one side, so yeah, female hairdressers, and on the right-hand side, it was barber's, right? And I just clocked it, and I thought, because like you say, I thought, it's a bit weird. I've never seen that before. Certainly not in Asda. But I remember, so... why am I trying?
Carry on, you started, so you'll finish.
So Sunday, so I was trying to get my boy's hair cut, and just something twigged up on. I saw the barbers in Asda, but you know what? I'm sure there's a barbers in Tesco.
Never
and believe it or
forever.
Not, it's been there for 2 years, right? So I would go online, open, Sunday, could book online, went to my boy, me and my boy got our hair cut at Tesco. Mason and, I can't remember the other guy's name.
Nice.
Honestly, really good.
Yeah, it looked good.
Really impressed. Expensive, though.
How much?
Jude was £9.50, rounded up to a tenner. And I was 19 pound, I think, on the nose.
So you left him an extra quid.
And it's a 20.
Cool. So anyway, the golf shops in St. Andrews, there's loads of them. And have you been to them all, taking you've been there? Have you not really dipped in?
I've been to the shops, but yeah, I can't.
Well, that's next time you go, you need to.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's some that just sell like clothes, and there's some that just kind of sell like bag tags and bits and stuff. And then there's Octoloni's, which is a massive shop.
Oh, I've been in there.
Yeah, everything like Callaway, everything I think of, like major stuff. And went in there and they said, we don't have a secondhand section, but around the corner, there's our Octoloni's pre-owned. And it was, I was in heaven. You were in heaven as well. We were both in heaven.
Was it a bit of a throwback?
Oh, ridiculous.
I loved as well, without being rude to them, it was a mess. There was just like boxes of balls just shoved on the side covered in dust that were like brand new but old. Top Flight XL 2000, Pinnacle Gold. That like, you look at them and that box is what I used to get growing up. And they're pristine. And it's like there's something psychological about it. It's not just about the fact it's a golf ball. It's about the memories.
How much do you think I paid for 3 Top Flight XL 2000s? Extra long. So they got to be 20 years old.
Somewhere like that.
Brand new, still in a box.
I actually don't even know how much you did pay.
I do.
Well, they were normally about £1 each, but I don't know what they'd be now.
Inflation.
Go on.
£10 for 3.
So that's Pro V ones.
You didn't catch this, did you? That bucket of Pro V ones.
No, I only saw it weirdly back on the video.
So on the floor, there was 3 buckets. On the left-hand side were like late balls, cheap, whatever, Pinnacles, whatever, whatever. Middle one was like your nice golf balls, but not your Pro V ones.
The Callaway Chrome soft.
Yeah, your Shrixon, whatever, AD 333s, whatever. And then the next bucket was just a bucket of Pro V1s.
How much were they, a ball? Was it a quid or something?
Quid a ball, I think they were.
Could just clean up.
Honestly, I was in heaven. Because they're all marked. Like they've all got character. Yeah. Every single one of those golf balls at one point was a brand new golf ball out of the box. And like, when you think about taking a brand new golf ball out of the box, it's never been hit. There's something amazing about that anyway. You mark it up, you put your initials, you put a few dots, you put a line on it, whatever. And that ball that's yours. And it's going on a journey with you until you lose it. And in this bucket, every ball had been through that stage. And there were some local ones from like Carnoustie, St. Andrews with the emblem on the side. There was ones where people's written the name on. There was ones with line. There was one with triple track, Callaway triple track on it. So that's quite a new one. There was one with like an American logo on it, which somebody's messaged me actually, FH something or other was on it. And it's like, how amazing. Like in the middle of nowhere.
It's the storytelling in it, behind it.
Like every ball's got a story
there.
That's
the thing.
When it comes to looking for golf balls, that's how I started golf. That was my youth. When I was a kid, we lived on the back of a golf course. And my dad on a Sunday afternoon would be like, come on, Soph, we're going to go look for golf balls in all the dikes and the ditches and all the thick rough. And that's how I kind of got into the game. And I loved it.
The adrenaline of finding a good ball.
Yeah, but obviously, like, he never told me that, well, in the beginning with tea were good. I just had all the yellow ones or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I just remember just being so excited to find a good, like, is this a good one, Dad? And he'd be like, yeah, that's a good one. And that's where my love for golf started, I suppose. So I'm all for that.
Kids still search for balls.
They must do. I used to spend most of my summers as a junior. That's why I never got that good, because rather than actually playing golf, I was in the trees looking for balls.
I remember there was a whole 6-hole where I used to play.
That sounds weird if someone crops that out. But.
Six and put it in with the clip from earlier. Yeah. On the 6-hole I used to play, it was like these big trees and loads of balls used to go in there. And I remember playing up to 5 or 6, just putting our bags down, like 3 or 4 of us, and just going hunting for what was ours, probably. Finding so many balls, it was amazing. I just don't feel like junior golfers still do that.
They must do. You can't beat finding a Pro V one.
But I didn't have an electric trolley when I was a junior. Now every junior has an electric trolley or a tour bag and not everyone listening, I'm sure, but a lot of people do. I feel like...
Well, that leads on to something nice I was trying to kind of get to in a roundabout way, with the fact that I ended up buying a TaylorMade V-Steel 3 wood.
It was in ridiculous condition.
I can't believe I saw it. I was nearly...
I fainted.
You were like, yeah, it's quite cool. I was like, I bought it. £25 special it was. Unreal.
I was just a bit like, I don't know.
You got the 300 series.
Do you like TaylorMade V-Steel?
It was so iconic.
If I was a bubble burner girl.
Yeah. You know,
that first little bubble in the shaft and the burnt orange. So, mine would have probably been, in terms of the TaylorMade, would have been the Titleist. You know,
PT. That was me. I feel like even though we're really close in age, me and Guy, like, I feel like golf changed so much in those like 3 years or something.
Again, I used to have...
Is it 3 years? What? 5 years?
Between what?
You and me.
I'm 30, nearly with 31.
So 5 years.
Yeah, so that's the difference. We're more the same
age.
Yeah,
I felt like it was like I said, the Titleist PT or
those.
Like 905
Titleist. I had the 980F as well. But like, It comes down to, though, what it's not about the club, because I took it to the Reign at the weekend. It's not like, well, it's obviously good. I'm not that good with it. But it's more about, like, the era that takes me back to and the memories. And that's why, like, it got me thinking in these secondhand shops, how a golf club, it's there for performance, obviously. You want to play good golf with what you buy. But there's so much more to it than that. And actually, I think I want to weirdly go out now and buy more old stuff, because it's just, it's fun. And I had this weird thought, it costs a fortune, but how good would it be to go up to St. Andrews with like a handful of friends, but take no clubs, and you have to buy them while you're there, and you give each other two, like a bit like a golf bit of challenge, you have 200 quid each.
You could easily get a set for 200 quid.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Easy.
How good would that, if you had a few quid?
Well, even like so the tightest irons I bought, DCI irons, 50 quid.
David the Val used to have them.
Like 50 quid for a set.
That's unreal.
Four to sand wedge. And like I said, you could easily do it on 200 quid. You might, if you took a bag without clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, you could buy a bag. I mean, I got ripped off for this bag. So
that was that was a rip off. Yonex as well.
Ripped off by this bag. So we went in the first shop.
Not just get the Hoofer. I mean, that's the bag of all carry bags.
There wasn't any. That was a class bag, that though,
wasn't it?
So I went in. I think it was the second shop actually, because the first shop didn't sell clubs. Went in. Really nice lady. Wasn't a lot of clubs. And she went, "What are you after?" I said, "Just anything. Old, battered, whatever."
She was a saleswoman. Her though.
He doesn't look like much.
She was
a
your
golfer.
Nemesis, because Rick can't barter, and she stood her ground.
So she said, "Come in the back. Come on, let's see what you got here." So she, in the back, proper junk about clubs. But she was like looking at me, going, "You're excited about this?" I'm like, "Yes, of course I am. This is it. This is what I came for." And right in the back, there was this Yonex leather bag, not a tour bag, but
I think it was an old tour bag.
One that you could fit in your locker.
Dead small.
Yeah, at the golf club.
Then,
yeah,
they
were small.
And I said, "Oh my God, I want that." She went, she looked at me like I've got two heads.
What colour was it?
Is it green?
Yeah, like green and white and blue. And she was like, "You want that?" I was like, "Yeah." And she looked at me like I've got two heads. And I went, "I absolutely want it." And there were some Wilson blades in the bag as well.
See on the thumbnail?
Oh, yeah.
There were some Wilson blades in the set as well, dead old. And I said, "I want them as well." I mean, I got a bit giddy in the first shot, to be honest. And so I'm pulling them out, and I bought a Callaway steel head. So the actual...
Unbelievable clubs.
How good, like...
Annika Sorensen used to rip them.
So it's funny, I went back home and told my mum, because my mum buying me all the clubs when I was back in the day, when I was like 11 or 12. She said, we got you the driver for £150. That night, you slept with it. I slept with the driver in my bed. Do kids still do that?
Well, I woke up on Christmas Day once, and I just opened my eyes, and there was the tailor-made bubble burner driver next to me.
Oh,
and
my love that.
Santa, you're the man.
Obviously not custom fit.
How did you know my spec?
Yeah.
And so I got this bag out, and she's like, "Oh God, I've not got a price for it." So I'm thinking, there's one or two things here. She's going to give it me for free. Not got a price for it. You want it, give it you for free. Or like, chuck us 20 quid. You can have the back, right? So she starts. So she's kind of cashing it all up, and she goes, "I need to ring the person who owns the bag." I'm like, "What?" She went, "It's not our bag. It's somebody who owns it." So she goes off in the back, rings this bloke, and she said to me before this, "I think he'd probably want 100 quid for it." So I'm thinking, "Oh my God, 100? Why am I paying this bloody tatty old bag 100 quid?" So she went off, and she must have rang Colin or whatever on the "Hey Colin, I've got a lad in the shop, he wants to buy your bag. Is 100 quid all right?" He'd probably fell off his chair.
Yeah.
He'd have gone, "Bloody..." I'll tell you what she did. She went in the back and went, "Hi Colin, it's Sue from the shop. Somebody's offered you 15 quid for the bag. Are you okay with that?"
Yeah.
Put the phone down.
85 quid. That's why
she wanted cash.
She did want cash.
And I thought, wait a minute, you paid £100.
Yes, you did.
You didn't. Oh,
and then what was weird was she locked the shop behind us, and we saw her in the bar drinking champagne afterwards, smoking a big cigar.
Popping champagne everywhere. Yeah, I paid 100 quid for this bag.
But that got me thinking again, how, because you actually played quite good golf with those clubs.
I did.
That video came out, well, what'll be yesterday when you're listening, but literally just now we've just released it.
7.5 degree driver.
Oh, remember that.
So tailor-made 300 series one it I got.
It's like what the new I ones inspired by, the new mini ones inspired
oh,
by.
Oh, you said on the picture? Yeah, it looks just like the mini driver, doesn't it? 7.5 degrees. Graphaloy.
Pro Light
in like the
blue.
Red.
Oh, you had the red one.
Because how good was the shaft back at the Pro Force, the yellow and purple
the
one?
Pro Force US. I had that in my pink V2. PSI.
I feel like you only got it in three woods really as well. I feel like it weren't as popular for drivers, but you said you had it in driver.
I
didn't
get it.
And so I spent way too much in that first shot.
Again, back to, we said this a lot and stuff, I know, but
I
like,
you've got a topic here to say.
No. Well, like, kind of first topic was how fun it was going looking at golf shops and buying secondhand stuff was the first part. But the second part was, we do get our pants pulled down by golf brands marketing. We do. Like, you went out there and played six holes, that you shot level par, which is spoiled if anyone's not watched the video, but still watch it. But the clubs were borderline ancient. The irons were at least 20-odd years old. The driver was 15, 20 years old. Putter was literally older than us. And you played quite good. Like, they weren't fitted, obviously, and all that stuff. But the brands today, they market the stuff so much. They make it so aspirational that you want to buy it. You see the tour pros using it. You see the claims. See the, you know, the videos, the nice Instagram pictures. But you can still play really good golf with old gear.
Okay.
And
here.
I think people do get sucked into it too much. And it's just like, if you've got clubs that work, don't buy new ones unless you just want them. But understand, you might not play better with them.
I do believe that to a certain extent, but you're quite good at golf, so you do hit the middle of the club face a lot. I do think the new technology really does help people that need to get the ball in the air, don't hit it as well compared to
a good point.
20, 30 years ago. I gave a golf lesson today with, you know, when you look at the clubs and you just think, there's just no, that they're too hard to hit. They're far too hard to hit. Here you go, have a go with this. It's a cavity back graphite shaft. And from somebody that is not much of a golfer, suddenly they start hitting golf shots and I'm not a miracle worker. It's just, I do think there is the technology there to make bad golf better. But I do agree in terms of good golfers, there might not be as much to gain from it.
I agree. You're gonna find somebody who's not very good at golf getting a chunky head with a graphite shaft up in the air quicker than an old blade from 20 years ago, granted. But in terms of golf getting a bad rap for being expensive and people getting annoyed when they buy a new driver, that a new one comes out and they feel almost gutted that the new stuff's replaced it, you can go out and play golf to a decent standard with old stuff that might cost you £100 all in. Might be a bit dusty.
Well, so, well, the stuff we were buying were dead old, but if you bought something certainly in the last 10 years, like, that's forgiveness, that's still got the greatest technology, or latest-ish technology.
Well, that V-Steel, they're still used.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, well, question for you both then, on that topic, which is a good point, to be fair, Sophie, what would you say from out of the bag has changed the least in the last 20 years? So what part of the bag could you get away with still using?
Probably wedges. I know, because grind and bounce has come in so much more recently.
Putter must be up there.
No, because think about all the mallets and stuff you can get now.
I think a mallet is, you have, if you're new to golf, just get a mallet putter.
You can still get mallets back then, though. Two balls been out for 20 years.
Two balls, 21 years, yeah.
You could have a two ball from the year 2000 and it'd be as good as anything out today.
I think it gets better as it gets higher in the bag. So, like you say, wedges, putter, and then by the time you get to your woods and your driver, I think they become better.
Yeah. What do you think, Rick? Do you agree?
I agree.
There you go.
Quick one before we finish.
I can't believe you didn't talk about the shank at the Women's Open.
I don't bring people up like that.
All right.
No, I do.
I thought that was quite relatable.
No, that shank, to be honest with you.
Oh, but not on the last hole. Like, shanks, if someone shanked off the first tee is like nervous.
Well, that was nerves.
I know, but 7 second hole, like, bless her.
It was gussing, wasn't it?
Oh, horrendous. Like,
if you haven't seen it. One of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen.
It was horrible.
What was it? Not Marsden.
Nana Madsen, yeah.
She, middle of the fairway, after a tee shot, kind of hit a ropey one right into that bunker.
That was the bad shot.
Kind of downhill, you were mentioning, going towards the green. She had almost like two bunkers to get over before you get to the green. She had to get up and down to force a playoff.
OB over the back.
Shanked it.
It's just horrible. But I just think sport's unfair, isn't it?
It's horrible sometimes.
It's really unfair. But I think, if anything, that just shows you the ups and the downs of golf. And, you know, the relatability of it all, that even really good players can just do something.
Question for you then.
Okay.
Not that you have to do this, but I think it'd be interesting. Obviously, as Rick said, you've been to three women's events this year. I've definitely been watching a bit more. In a sentence or two, our listeners who may not be converted to watching many, not converted, but may not watch much women's golf because they just don't think about it or they're just not into it. What, you know, sell it to them.
There's this thing about it being, it's so relatable. They hit it about the same as me. And no, they don't. They hit it really good.
Yeah.
They hit it frighteningly good. They're very, very straight off the tee, to the point that I actually felt in the coverage, they didn't portray how hard Carnoustie was. It's very tight off the tee and these players just can thread it through a needle. So it's a different type of golf, but it's still golf. It's all the things that you would get what you'd think you'd get at a men's event. It's the accessibility. I think that's probably the best thing you can get from the women's game. You can get so much pleasure from watching these players, but you can walk next to them. And it, honestly, but last week you could have just gone, oh, hi, Anna, you all right? 100%. And she'd have said, oh, yeah, please, you know, pleased to meet you. I've seen that a lot recently at some events. People have just come in and said, oh, what a lovely person Paula Creamer is, or Anna Nordqvist is, or Mel Reid, whatever you want to do, because you can actually access them. And I think that's arguably the best thing about the women's game, is not only how impressive they are on the golf course, but you can get close, you can ask them a question, you can learn a bit about them. And it's, for some people, it's a totally new type of sport. And like you were saying, delve into Instagram, find out about somebody, find out the story. I did it in Formula One recently, where I started learning a new sport. And I think almost you can do that with golf. If you follow men's golf, you can have a new passion. And there's nothing better than finding something new that you go, yeah, I'm really into this. And there's lots of events that you can go to that might not be as expensive. This week I'm covering the Curtis Cup, which is women amateur, GB and I against America. And it's at Conway.
Yeah, Conway. It's so close
in
to
Wales,
us,
which is really close to us. It's an hour and a bit away. And you might watch those players, and then in a couple of, well, Louise Duncan did it already, but in a couple of years' time, they'll be winning majors, and you're thinking, wow, so you can follow a story. So that's what I would say. Try and go to an event, find a couple of players that you really like, and then follow them and support them like you would do with your golfers, with your football teams and stuff like that.
Well, I'm probably finding that myself. Like, I had really fallen out of love with football. Wasn't bothered about football. The Euros came, biggest glory hunter ever, going to the match and everything, thinking I'm some sort of football hooligan. And since now, the football season started again. And because I know so many more of the players, I'm like invested. I know players who play for Villa and Spurs and transfer markets. Guys got me listening to Talk Sport. It's the characters that get you into watching it more than the sport.
Yep.
And that's what I'm finding with golf as well, ladies golf. There's so many more characters, I think, there is than men's golf, if I'm dead honest with you. And it's great to see. One of the characters, obviously, I'm speaking to her soon, Annika. Got any questions? Have you got anything I should ask her?
Just why she wanted to take it to the next level. Like, what, obviously, did Tiger inspire her? Because I felt like she went and did the fitness. Why? Where did she? Who told her to do it? Was it all self motivation, or did somebody kind of on her team tell her? Because she was one of the first people in the women's game that went and did all the fitness and took it all to another level.
Where was that inspired from?
Yeah, where that inspired from. And then ask her about, you know, teeing it up with the men, like, because that's quite a good story for people to listen to. It's an amazing
Because bar story. Her, Michelle Wee, has there been many that have teed up with the men?
No, not really. I mean, talking of the Open champion, Anna Nordqvist, she actually teed it up with the men during COVID times, because there wasn't anything to play in, and shot like 64 and won the event just in the local, something like a Cactus Tour or something like that. But yeah, probably what kept her at the top. Why? Because she was just so much better than everybody else.
Love it.
Quick Thanks one. So. Oh, sorry, go on. Before we wrap it up, but thank you. I think you were going to say thank you for coming.
Finishing my word. I'll say thank you, say you.
Yeah. there is news for those people in the clubhouse who listen this far in. We appreciate it. The live podcast for episode 100 is looking very, very likely. We've been working with somebody who has got us a venue, so it's probably going to be in Manchester area. It's not confirmed yet. We've not confirmed the date. But if you are interested, it is looking like it's going to go ahead. What do you want to say anything about that, Rick?
Am I coming?
You can come. Okay. Me and Soph, you're doing it.
If you're coming, Soph?
If I'm here.
I would love you to come on if you're here. I think that third voice would be good.
I think we'll get a few.
I'm sure there'll be a few people wanting to come.
Yeah, keep out for social media to make sure you hear news of that. But that'll be really exciting, something we've never done before, and something I think you guys will love. And like I say, it you're going to annoy some people, because not everyone's going to be able to get to it, unfortunately. But we have to do it somewhere that's local to us, a venue that can accommodate us. Fingers crossed it can get off the ground and get going.
Yes. Thursday's podcast is with you, with Annika.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday will be a standard podcast, me and you. So if anybody wants to have their email read out, it's podcast@rickshields.com. We'll do some Dear Ricks. We've not done some for it. We've got a lot stashed up here. So you've got to really get... Today, I don't think you're in the best frame of mind. You're hungover. Very hot.
So.
You're getting better, though, I would say. You feel a bit fresher?
Yep.
As soon as the camera goes off, he's going to be dying. But we'll get some of those done next week. And last thing, I'm going to ask for a while, but please, if you've not done already, rate us on Apple. Ideally 5 stars. 4 stars is... I'd rather it be 5 or 1. 4 stars is pointless. There's nothing. So 5 stars or 1 star.
And if people do that, I promise to review the mac and cheese place that I went to a few weeks ago.
And don't call me a ferret, please.
Thanks very much, Sophie. Appreciate your time.
Thank you
very
much,
guys. And we'll see you all soon.
Thank you. Yeah, nice one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.